Come on, let's stand tonight. Come on, let's begin to praise Him. Let's begin to glorify Him. Come on, would you enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise? Oh, Jesus, we love You. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be. Here in Your love. Here in Your love. No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of You, God.
Come on, make that your prayer tonight.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain,
that I can't control. I want more of You.
soul is thirsty. Come on, that's it. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. I'd rather be in your house. One day in your court. much for you, Jesus. For in all of you be still, will I stand in your presence. To my knees will I fall, will I sing hallelujah, will I be able to speak at all. I can only imagine.
Your voice. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph tonight. Come on, better is one day. We're in the house of the Lord tonight. There's nothing like this. Come on, there's nothing like being in the house of the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Savior. No place I'd rather be. Come on, no place I'd rather be. Oh, we love your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name. We worship you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Return to your seats and remain standing. Praise God. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer tonight. There are several that are homesick. Amen. We're going to pray for those that are at home not feeling well. We're also going to pray for those that have been missing. Amen. Anytime you miss several services in a row, you need prayer. Amen. We need to pray for them. So pray for all the visitors we've been having. Pray for the guests that we've been working with. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Savior, we love you. God, we thank you right now for your presence. We ask you, Lord, that you could touch those that are homesick tonight. God, you touch their bodies, their minds, their souls, their spirits. God, we pray that you would touch those, God, that have been missing for whatever reason, whatever thing that's going on in their life. I pray, God, touch their minds, their hearts. Touch their souls. Give them a fresh need and burden, desire to be in the house of God. There's no place. There's no place we'd rather be. There's no place we should be. God, then hearing your love, I pray right now, Savior, that you would do the work in their mind, their heart, their soul tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated, asking our ushers to prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Thank you for your continued support on the things of the Lord. I mean, this time is crazy and busy, but we still need the support to carry on the work. Amen. Please make time for personal daily devotion. Read your Bible every day. Fast as often as you can. Pray every day. Amen. Be about the Father's business. Amen. Also, make sure that you're inviting folks to the house of God. Well, that was about three. If you're not inviting folks to the house of God, then what are we doing? If we're not witnessing, if we're not giving our testimony, if we're not doing what the Bible said you're going to be witnesses, then what are we doing all this for? I mean, I love y'all, but I don't want it to be just us in the new building. Amen. We could have done that in the old one. Saved a lot of money. Saved a lot of time, a lot of heartache, a lot of frustration. So if we're going to put all this effort in, let's put some effort into reaching the lost. Amen. He that winneth souls is wise. Be skillful, artful, and tactful, and invite them to the house of God. Amen. Let's pray for the offering tonight. Let's stand together. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what we feel in this house. We ask you, Lord, that you'd bless the gift of the giver. God, we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
House of prayer, a house of
don't you stretch out and begin to touch him? Come on, why don't you ask him for another touch? May the fire. God, reignite me.
Come on, can we take a few moments tonight, right now? Come on, can we just magnify the Lord together? Come on, let's take some time. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for souls. Come on, let's ask the Lord to bless, to help, to move. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Savior. Come on, in the name of Jesus, may the fire of my altar, come on, stir up the gift that lies within you. Stir up the gift tonight. Get a warm feeling for it all over again. Oh, make me, Lord, a house of prayer. God, I glorify you today. God, I glorify you today. Oh, Jesus. Come on, everything we do is about winning the lost. Everything we do is about saving souls. Come on, all that we do, all the songs, all the music, all the prayer, everything's about reaching the lost. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Caleb Dillon that pastors in San Bernardino, California. Man, I remember when he was just a kid. Can't believe he's pastoring now. But they have a growing, thriving church. Baptizing folks all the time. And you say, Pastor, how come it's not happening here? Well, I can give you a little bit of a reason. Because we're not doing our part. So, Pastor, we're busy, we're working. Yeah, but if we're not witnessing, we're not doing our part. Apostolic means to be sent. Well, I got quiet. We should be witnessing. We should be doing Bible studies. We should be telling our testimony. I've never done a Bible study. Do you have a testimony you can tell? Has God been good to you? Has God delivered you, filled you with the Holy Ghost? You don't have to know all the Bible. Can you just tell somebody how good God has been to you? And we can't ever let that die. If we don't keep the main thing, then there will not be a church. And I believe there's going to be a church in the city of Nampa. There is a church in the city of Nampa. But we've got to grow. The only way this church is going to double is if everybody goes out and wins a soul. That's the quickest way. We're waiting for them to come in. We may be waiting a long time. But let's get out there and witness to somebody, tell somebody our testimony. We got a lot to be excited about, a lot to be excited for. And if nothing else, if at all, the blind man said, whether he be a sinner, I know not. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Tell them where you came from. You may not be able to argue doctrine, but they can't argue your testimony. I was delivered. The hold the devil had on me, as the old song says, he ain't got no more. And so I'm thankful for that. And let's be about the Father's business. Amen. As you're turning to John chapter 2, by way of update, we passed our mechanical inspection, we passed our electrical inspection, and we passed our framing inspection. And so this weekend, we will be insulating the walls and getting ready for sheetrock. And more importantly, after almost 2 years of trying to get the city to allow us to have an occupancy of 250 or less, after them going to 436 in number, after all the debates and all the waiting and all the money and all the rent and all the delays, we finally got our occupancy down to 241. We don't have to do a firewall. We don't have to do a huge parking lot. And as much as I'm happy about it, it makes me mad. Because that's what we asked for in the beginning. And what's worse than that is I had to go through and do a bunch of numbers, did a bunch of measurements, sent them all to the engineer, said, hey, this is where we actually are physically able to have and hold. He sent that to the city on March 5th. I asked him several times if he'd heard back from the city. He said no. I called, I texted, I was frustrated. So finally I called him yesterday. He said, how you doing? I said, I'm fixing to have a coronary. I said, we need an answer. We got things that are being delayed because we don't have an answer. He said, let me look. Oh, she responded. I thought, wow, that's a miracle. Little did I know it was a month ago that she responded. So we've been waiting a month for some answers and could have had them a month ago. So what do? You get mad at him and whatever. I heard this the other day, and I'm going to live my life by this. Win the soul, not the argument. I probably have a case to go against him, but that wouldn't win him. So I'm going to win the soul and not the argument. I think if we thought about that a little bit more, I think if we treated people a little bit more like I'm going to win the soul and not the argument, we might do better in life. So I'm just going to win his soul, at least pray for it. And if I don't win him, it won't be because we didn't try. Amen. But we're thankful for that. God is moving. Now here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma. We got to be done. And I don't know if we're going to be done before Pentecost Sunday or not. Definitely not Palm Sunday, since that was the weekend before Easter. But we need to be done before a firework starts. It's crunch time, folks. So don't be weary in well-doing. If you need more time, need more things, need more whatever, don't be weary in well-doing. If you're tired, join the club. If you're wore out, get in line. We're all wore out. But I heard this the other day also. Don't complain about what you prayed for. Don't complain about the thing that you prayed for when you get it. Because there might be a whole lot more work to the answer. Well, so here we are. And we're going to make it happen. We're going to do it. And it's if you're not working out there, pray for us. Because we need it. We need strength. We need to do things right. I feel like building the wall, got a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. I wish I could have tools in both hands, but we still got battles to fight. But that's all right. We're doing a great work, and God's behind it. And just like they built that wall in 52 days, we got 46. We got 46 days to be ready for Pentecost Sunday. Everybody think we could do it? Oh, that wasn't a very positive amen. I believe, help down my unbelief. Lord, you know. How about we pray right now that the Lord would just all of a sudden pull out all the stops. Come on, right now. If you don't believe prayer can change things, come on all over this house. Savior, you know the need. You know the timing. There's a purpose and a time for everything, God. We know that right now you're able to do anything. There's nothing too hard for you. God, you can strengthen the men. You can send us help. God, you can do great things. Come on, in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, give him glory. If you believe it, give him praise. If you want to see it happen, Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen, amen. John chapter 2, verse number 7. Now, I looked around tonight. I really wanted to save this for Sunday. I really thought, after looking around tonight, I thought, man, we could just go get ice cream, and I could preach this Sunday night. Lord, I ain't worried about you. If you're sick, that's you. You can go home. If I want ice cream, I'm going to be ice cream, especially if they got chocolate malted crunch over at the, anyway. But I felt this tonight. I don't know who needs to hear it. Maybe we need to hear it. Well, I ain't got nobody preaching with me tonight. I'm at the work too hard for this. I might as well just go get ice cream. I could do like Elder Morton did. Y'all didn't come to have church. You just walk out the back door. You guys could turn this into a prayer meeting. Praise God. But I'm going to preach tonight what I feel the Holy Ghost has laid on my heart today. John chapter 2 and verse number 7. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. He said to him, every man at the beginning that set forth good wine, when men have been well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. How many believe that the best is yet to come? How many believe we haven't seen our best days and our greatest days and our brightest days? Amen. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Before the miracle, before the answer, he was God in the beginning. Before the answer came, he was still God. Before the building gets done, before your answer and your healing comes, before your financial situation turns around, God was still God from the beginning. And I'm going to preach tonight with the help of this church and the help of the Holy Ghost, God of the beginning. Can we lift our hands all over this house? Come on, give him praise, give him glory, give him honor. Come on, give him praise, give him glory, give him honor. We don't have a whole lot of time tonight. Come on, let's just start off right now from the beginning. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's glorify him. Come on, let's magnify the name of Jesus tonight. This beginning of miracles did Jesus. He's God of the beginning. I don't have to wait till it's over. I can shout now. I don't have to wait till the battle is won. I can shout now because he was God in the beginning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, somebody ought to get a revelation. He's God in the start. He's God in the middle. He's God at the end. I know God is God, and God don't ever change. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. This beginning of miracles. You can read it like this. This was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did. The word beginning means a commencement. It means chief. It means the beginning or the corner. It means power or rule. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of beginnings? Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. John 1 and 1, in The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said in John 8:25, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Ephesians 2:20, you are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Can I just drop this in? It's more than a name. It's more than just a change of a name for a church. It's letting everybody else know who he was and when he became. He's the chief cornerstone. He's from the beginning. Come on, he asked him in Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, and thou knewest? Who hath stretched a line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? If you got an answer, let me know. But I know where the beginning was. I laid the line. I laid the foundation. I am the source. I am the origin. I am the beginning. My God, I'm going to get ahead of myself. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. Come on, if you got a problem, I was there before your problem. If you got a need, I was there before your need. If you got a situation, I was God before your situation. I hung the earth upon it. And the Bible says that we're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Hebrews 1:10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning had laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand. Acts 15:18, known unto God are his works from the beginning of the world. Let them bring forth, let them show us how it's what shall happen, and let them show forth the things that what they be, and may consider them, and know the latter end of them, and declare unto us things for to come. Show us the things that are come afterward, that we may know that there are no gods. Yea, do good and do no evil, and the may be dismayed. Behold it together. Who hath declared it from the beginning, that we may know it, and before time, that we may say, he is righteous. Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. There is none that heareth your words. Who was it that declared it from the beginning? He said, who is as I shall call and declare it and set it forth in order, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming shall come, and let them show unto them, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time, and have declared it? Isaiah 45:21, who hath declared this from ancient time, and who hath told it from that time? Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning. Now let me go up to verse 9. Remember the former things of old. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done. I'm going to tell you, he was there on the outset and he's there at the end, and he's declaring the things that are coming. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He said to me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22:13, just to make a point, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Oh, hallelujah. Your problem doesn't surprise God. Your problem doesn't shock God. He was there. In fact, can I tell you, he either brought it to you or allowed it to come to you. Either way, he was there in the beginning. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word Genesis means an origin, creation, beginning. The Latin means origin or source. The definition of Genesis is the first book of the Bible dealing with creation and the patriarchs. Culture recognizes Genesis as the book of beginnings or the Genesis of beginnings. The first book of the Old Testament, the first words in the Bible are in the beginning. It covers the time from beginning of the world through the days of the patriarchs, including the story of creation, Adam and Eve, the fall of man, Noah, and the flood, God's covenant with Abraham, and all the way to Joseph and the children of Israel. From beginning after beginning, God created and kept on creating. He made man, man fell, and God made a way to redeem him. He created a people, they were enslaved, and God made a way for them to enter into a promised land. He had a plan from the beginning. He had a purpose from the beginning. And from the beginning of creation, God made them. And from the beginning of creation, God created. And from the beginning of creation, God made. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation until this time. Just as God was creating then, He's creating now. God has not lost his ability to create. God has not lost his ability to make out of nothing. God has not lost his ability to create something out of nothing. God can still make a way when there is no way. God can still make a way out of the crooked. God can still. These things saith the Amen. Let me tell you something, church. This is not ego talking tonight. This is help. If you want things that are preached behind this pulpit to come to fruition in your life, you need to learn how to open your mouth and say amen. The amen is let that word be in my life as it was spoken in this life. On earth, as it is in heaven. In my home, as it is in heaven. And the Bible tells us these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I'm going to tell you, when God created Adam, he knew what he would become. Let us make man in our own image. And God made man in his own image. I'm going to tell you, the first Adam was great, but the second Adam was God manifest in the flesh. And God can make a babe. My God. If God create the world out of nothing, he can have a virgin give birth to a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I come to tell you tonight, and I'm way more close to being done than you believe. I come to tell you tonight that God is still creating. I come to tell you tonight that God is still transforming lives, and God's still creating. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I wish I was preaching to a house full of visitors tonight, but maybe a church needs to get a revelation. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not. We crucified that old man. We buried that old man in water. We buried that old lady in water. I'm a new creature in Christ. He's going to take the drug addict and make him a Sunday school teacher. He's going to take the alcoholic and make him a church board member. He's going to take the prostitute and make him a saint in the house of God. He's going to take the drug dealer, the gang member, and make him a saint in the house of God, because God's still creating. And I don't want to slow this down, but I want you to hear this tonight. I preached on these next verses multiple times. I don't know why I never looked it up. I don't know why if I ever looked it up, I never noticed this. But how does this 2 Corinthians 5:17 come to pass? Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that verily, verily is truly, truly, or amen, amen. He's saying in the beginning. He's saying this in the beginning of his statement. This was true back then. It's true right now, and it'll be true next year if the Lord tarries. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because I don't see it. I don't understand it. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be, ye must be, ye must be born again. I know you know what the word born means. The word born means to procreate or regenerate. That all comes from the word Genesis, creation, beginning. But when I looked up the word born, I saw that. When I looked up the word again, my mind was blown because it said this, from above, from the first, and from the beginning. Can I tell you, you can come to an altar however you were born the first time. And when you come to an altar and you leave born again, you got it all the way. All the way from the beginning, everything changes. Everything changes. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Hey, I'm going to tell somebody tonight, it's not over till it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. It's not over till the trumpet sounds. You messed up last week, get a new beginning. You messed up yesterday, get a new beginning. You slipped and fell, get a new beginning. God's still in the creating business. God's still in the life-changing business. God's still doing it. Don't let the devil tell you you messed up. There's a new beginning tonight. Don't let the devil tell you you might as well quit. There's a new beginning tonight. Don't let the devil tell you to throw in the towel. There's a new beginning tonight. My God's still creating lives. He's still changing hearts. He's still doing what he's got to do. Come on, it's by washing of water and renewing and regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's how we're saved tonight. Come on, be reborn tonight. Be born again tonight. I messed up, Pastor. That's fine. There's a new beginning tonight. I failed in my life. That's all right. God's still creating new things. Come on, there's new hope. There's new life in this house tonight. There's new vision in this house tonight. There's new beginnings in this house tonight. You have not fallen too far. You have not messed up too bad. Where my God cannot create a new beginning from you. He's still the God of the beginning. I'm born again from above. I'm born again from the first. I'm born again from the beginning. Come on, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar tonight. He's a liar yesterday. He's a liar tomorrow. Come on, the devil's a liar every day. My God. Come on in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me help you tonight. Let me help you tonight. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Here's the deal. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God knew we were going to need a renewing and a rebirth. And let me give you what this says. When you look at this word, born again, to procreate, to regenerate again, it means from above. It means by analogy from the first, by implication, anew. And from the beginning, it means from the top. You know what happens when you rehearse something and you make a mistake? All right, let's take it from the top. Let's do that again. Let's see if we can do that better. God said, I'm giving you from the top every day. I'm giving you a chance. If you mess up this morning, we can stop in the middle of the day and say, all right, let's take it from the top. That's the God of the beginning. God understands creation. He understands making things. He understands how to fix things because he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. I got to give you this because I saw it today, and I really feel like someone need to hear this tonight. Revelation 1:8, and there's four other places this is used, but Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In other words, it's not over till he says it's over. Saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, that phrase, was, is, and is to come, is this. The one being, this is the definition of it in the Bible, look it up. The one being, the one that was, and the one coming. The eternal as the divine epithet of Christ. He was, he is, and he is to come. He's the God of your beginning over there, your beginning today, and you have to begin tomorrow. He's the same God. And here it is. He said, I'm the beginning and the end, but here's the end. The end is this. The set out for a defined point or goal. The set, I made a point, I made a goal, and that's the end. The limit, the conclusion of an act, the termination of an act, the result of the purpose. If God gave you purpose and you have not yet fulfilled that purpose, it's not over until he says it's over. He'll give you new beginnings. He'll give you new startovers. He'll take it from the top as many times as you need to until his purpose. I just want to tell somebody tonight, Christ is the end. Jesus is the end. Say, well, do you have a Bible for that? Yes, I do. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. This to everyone that believeth. My life's not over until he says it's over. I may fall, I may slip, I may get down depressed, I may get out, I may whatever. But as long as I understand. Carson, what was it that Brother Booker said? This is like a tunnel. And if you get going the wrong way on the tunnel, all you got to do is stop and turn around. I don't care how far you went, my God. I don't care how far you went back. As soon as you turn around, new beginning, new beginning, new beginning. It's God of the beginning. Oh, let's lift our hands all over this house and give him glory. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands all over this house tonight. Come on, anybody need a new fresh start? Anybody need a start over? Anybody need a mulligan? Anybody need to take it from the top because you messed up today? I'm going to give you the last scripture since we're one scripture away from the whole notes being read. Here it is. For we are made partakers. That word made means created. We are created partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm not giving you a license to go out and make a mess. If you do it on purpose, you may not make it back. But if you fall, a righteous man falleth 7 times, but has 8 new beginnings. A righteous man's going to trip up, A righteous lady is going to get messed up in her mind. But if somehow you can get a fresh beginning, get confidence in the beginning. I wanted this house to be as full tonight as it was Sunday night with visitors. I think we had 6 or 7, 8 visitors Sunday night. But you know what? God knows. God knows. Young people, you're not going to be perfect. None of us are. But don't just go all out because you made a mistake. I got a new beginning. You don't have to wait till the next service. You don't have to wait till the next service. He said, I'll give you, I'm the beginning and the end. You can pray to him right there in that moment and say, God, I just messed up. Can you give me a new beginning right here, right now? And he said, absolutely. That's why I died. That's why I rose again, to give you a fresh start. Come on, somebody rejoice in that tonight. Come on, somebody rejoice in that tonight. You must be born again. And thank God you can be born again time and time and time again. Praise God. Amen. I'm just being honest. I love my pastor, and I'm sure he's preached a lot of things that would have saved me and got me on the right track if I'd have listened. But I wish somebody would have told me this a long time ago. Would have saved myself a whole lot of heartache thinking, what, there are people who are not here tonight because they think, what's the use? And God said, I got a beginning for you. I already got it lined out. I already put it in the book. I planned for this. I got a contingency for this. Born again. Are you glad you can speak in tongues again? Are you glad you can repent again? Are you glad you can be filled? Praise God. Amen. Amen. I come back to church Sunday night with a fresh start. I don't want to have to do it, but Brother Carson, if we have to, we got to stop it. And that says, let's take it from the top. Let's do it right. I wasn't joking when I said my pastor walked out of church one night. He did. He walked right out. He said, y'all didn't come to have church. Why am I here? I tell you what, we all turned it. We had a new beginning. We had a fresh start. And that church was never the same again. Can I tell you something? We don't need one of those services. We can make up in our mind right now, you know what, God, I've been on the wrong path, but I'm turning around. I'm thinking different. I'm repenting. I'm going to go the right direction. I'm going to live for you. And guess what? I got a brand new start. You know that word we talk about a lot, restored? To restore the years? That being born again, if you look at it as new, regeneration, it's like that is the beginning. Like the rest of your life, all that happened before, in his mind, is gone. That's the beginning. And if we need those 15 or 20 times a day, guess what? God will give them. His grace and his mercy is multi-layered. It's not his will that any should perish. Yeah. Oh, you messed up. That's it. I'm done with you. No. He's like, I got another start for you. I want to drive that home tonight. God has got another start for you. God's got a fresh beginning because he is the God of beginning. Let's lift our hands one more time all over this house. Come on, lift your hands, lift your voice. Lift your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you people. Sharing to God with a voice of triumph. Oh, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. Greet somebody tonight before you leave the house of the Lord. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.